Just to add to that, but you got to remember the there's a number of lines of truths coming here. First, there's the positional, that it's based only on the grace of God. Mm-hmm. God will not deny himself. He's about to destroy all men from the face of the earth. But he cannot deny that he had promised the Messiah, he promised to deliver him. Mm-hmm. So he does reach down and he grabs one man, Noah. Then there's the practical line that Noah, and I have no doubt that Noah walked with God, he was perfect in his generation, not after God spoke to him. There was something in Noah's life. Mm-hmm. One of his grandfathers walked with God, we just mentioned, Enoch. And how important grandparents and parents are, especially in such a day, practically, to walk with the Lord and to teach our young to walk with the Lord. So that when the Lord is about to deal with something, he has that remnant. The other thing is a prophetical line. The church is seen in Enoch raptured up. This represents the Israelites in a day of the tribulation period. And there is that faithful remnant who walk with God, whose eyes are finally open, and they are drawn to him and he to them in that prophetic sense. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at this, but for us too, as a practical sense, in this day, we live in such an evil day. We live in such a corrupt day. And now he's looking for such Noahs in us, taught from our parents and grandparents, what it really means. Like even in Enoch's day, how many walked with God? We're only told one. How important to see that, are we just attending meetings or are we truly walking with God, that we may come into his favor? Not in the sense of taken away from the work of grace, but that he sees that he could walk with us as well. Mm-hmm. Such a corrupt day.
Walking with God is a very deep subject as we are displaying it here. But I want to say something to all of us who have children. We rightly tell our children, do not walk with a stranger. And we're absolutely right in doing that. And today what we see in the world around us is that God is a stranger to too many people. You can't talk about somebody walking with God if he doesn't know God. And how do we get to know God? Through the person of the Lord Jesus. There is no shortcut. There is no other way that we can learn of the grace of God except through the Lord Jesus. And when it comes to children, we are correct in what we say to them when it comes to this present evil world, and it isn't much different with what we've been reading here. Absolutely not. It is not. Man has rejected God and continues to attempt to bring the Lord Jesus down to the level of a good man. It's going on today, just as we sit here, and it'll be going on until the Lord comes. But as far as others are concerned, the grace of God has been shown through the Lord Jesus. And that grace never changes. God loved me as a sinner. Not because there was anything good in me. Not because there was anything good really in Noah. But why was God focusing on Noah? Because there was something that God knew would take place. God and the Lord Jesus, who are the same, have a tremendous advantage to you and I because they both know what's going to happen tomorrow. And you and I do not. We don't know who's going to receive the grace of God. And therefore, we should never be discouraged in preaching the gospel to those who are younger or to anyone at all, because it is God who saves. It is the Lord Jesus who saves. It is not our own lives, not our own efforts, but with the knowledge we have responsibility. And walking with God, he should never be a stranger to any true believer. And he isn't. He isn't, because we do know the Lord Jesus. So I think when we look at it in that prospect, we can fully understand what happened here. He knew that Noah could be used for his glory. And that's why Noah was selected.
There was a continuation of the race of mankind. Probably Noah deserved to be killed as well. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Mark, I think you really hit the nail on the head when you're really emphasizing what someone called the sovereignty of God. It always gives more glory than the other side of things, which, shall we say, heightens or underscores man's works. God must be given his due in his rightful place. Because when you look at Noah, after the flood, he demonstrates the fact that he himself is corrupt. Mm-hmm. He plants a vineyard, nothing wrong with vineyard, but he becomes drunken. His sons, or at least one of his sons, Ham, demonstrates that he is not totally faithful in terms of his lack of respect for his father as he goes into the tent and is disrespectful in whatever way. I'm not sure anyone really knows how he was disrespectful, but the point is this, that all have demonstrated that they are corrupt. And so I think, you know, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." God is a God of purpose. And he chooses that which is lovely to do that which is according to his purposes. And so I think we need to really emphasize that there's a constant rejection on the part of man. A resistance to give God his rightful place in these matters. And I think you really restored that. I think we need to respect that. It's God. It's not about us. It's God. It's about God. And then one other thought. As it was in the days of Noah, the Lord Jesus himself says, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, particularly referring to, as Brother said, the tribulation era, period of time. But the conditions are going to replicate themselves. And we see that in the world today. I know that the end times have existed since the time of the apostles. But nevertheless, there is a tremendous wholesale turning away from moral values in our country and violence. Violence that is almost uncanny. People, young people, children, doing things that are so offensive, murder. And you're not going to emphasize all these things, but why? The earth filled with violence. And the Lord says, he predicts that before he comes again, we're going to see a restoration, not a restoration, but a revisiting of these kind of conditions. Mm-hmm. And so, in light of these times, God still has a remnant, as someone has already mentioned. Not because the remnant is good or perfect in itself, but there are those who respond to God. And I think that that's something that's helpful to us to see. And are we going to be among those who will respond to that sovereign grace? There is sovereign grace. God's a God of choice and a God of election and a God of purpose. But there are those who will respond. And in response, God can use those for the Lord.